It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In this installment of our series of interviews with Wisconsin candidates for Congress, we speak with Glenn Grothman, the incumbent Republican U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. Prior to his time in Congress, Representative Grothman served in the Wisconsin legislature from 1993 to 2015. He is running to serve a third term in the House of Representatives. Congressman Grothman, welcome to the Morning Show.
Glad to be on the show. Always good to be on the Ideas Network.
Me too. Why are you running for re-election?
Well, we feel we've accomplished a lot in my first 3 years here. We returned our local control back to the school district. We removed some burdensome regulations from the financial community. We've rebuilt the defense and had a nice tax cut. But there's more to be done. Our welfare system is messed up. Right now we're discouraging people from working. The formulas discourage marriage. I think that's something we've got to take up. Our immigration laws have not really been wholesale reform since the 1980s. That's something that should be taken up. And the damage from Obamacare, the increased costs in particular, has still not been repaired. So for these reasons, I'd like to come back for a third term.
Well, let's talk about health care. You're in favor of repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. You voted to repeal it in the past, and you voted in favor of the GOP's American Health Care Act. What policies do you hope to enact to change the way that health care works?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to make sure that we retain the requirement that pre-existing conditions have to be covered. It's a little bit frustrating running for election here when your opponent, who's got quite a bit more money than me, quite frankly, way more money, particularly your listeners in the Green Bay area will know that, is saying that I don't want to cover pre-existing conditions. When something is ultimately passed, we want to make sure that we continue to cover pre-existing conditions, because there are a lot of people out there who may have cancer, heart disease, whatever, and we have to make sure they get insurance. Otherwise, I think we want to go towards more association health plans. The big problem we have right now in the current system is larger companies are able to, through self-insurance, through employer-based clinics, have been able to hold the line on cost. But people who are not in a larger plan, their costs have been spiraling out of control. So if we can do things like have a Farm Bureau across the state set up association plans, that sort of thing, I think it'll be a big step in the right direction. I think we also have to allow reimportation of drugs. I think that'll do something towards holding down the out-of-control costs of prescription drugs, which is one of the things driving up the cost of health insurance.
And when it comes to covering people with pre-existing conditions, how specifically would you do that? One of the things that's been proposed are high-risk pools. Is that what you're thinking of, or do you have something else in mind?
No, we left the same language in that was in there on Obamacare in both the bills I voted for.
So, other than health care, what's the most important issue in your district right now?
Well, the economy is doing very well. You know, I've always been a big advocate for manufacturing. We changed the tax structure when I was in the state legislature to be very favorable. I think the big problem is we have to find more people to work. And part of that is making sure our education system is more skills-based. We have too many people who spend time going to school in which they had a degree that didn't lead to a job, particularly if they have big student loans. It's just criminal what's happening to these people. Frequently, they go back when they're 25, 27 years old to learn a skill. It'd be good if that was done in the first place. And wherever I go, people are looking for more workers. As I mentioned, our welfare system, I think the big problem is a human problem there in the welfare system, in that you are discouraging people from working. And, you know, they don't get, I don't think you can feel good of yourself when you're on the welfare system. But as we get people off the welfare, that will also in part solve the problem of a lack of people working.
Immigration was a big issue this year with President Trump's push for a wall, the White House's controversial family separation policy, and then last week President Trump's warning that he would close down the southwestern border of the United States if Mexico doesn't stop an incoming caravan of migrants. Do you agree with how the White House has handled immigration over the past year?
Well, you know, we changed the policy, and I was one of the people who wanted to change the policy on separating children from their families. And, of course, Donald Trump was just carrying over the Obama policy for whatever reason. Nobody ever talked about it when it was the Obama policy. But we got the Trump administration to change their policy, which is, I think, was a good thing. But we have to stop this idea of having everybody come across the border. Our goal should be that every immigrant comes here legally. I mean, you're obviously having a problem right out of the chute if people come here illegally. We swear in over 600,000 new citizens a year in this country. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. And there are 196 countries in the world, or 197 now. Not everybody has to come here. So I think we just want to make sure that all the 600,000 to 700,000 people we swear in every year are top-of-the-line immigrants who are ready to work, who are not going to commit crimes. And I think when we do have people who are here illegally, well, we're not going to deport them all. Anybody who is on any welfare program, anybody who's committed a crime, they have to be removed.
In the past, you've said that the United States cannot be the welfare magnet for the Western Hemisphere when it comes to immigration.
Absolutely.
What do you mean by that?
Right. Well, I think if you wind up living what I'll call a welfare lifestyle in the United States, you may be materially better off than the middle class in other countries. And we want to make sure when people come here, they come here saying, I'm going to work all the time, I'm not going to break the law. And right now, even though in many cases against the law, if you talk to the income maintenance workers, there are people here getting food share, that sort of thing, who are here illegally. And first of all, it's costing us money. We're broke. Secondly, you're having people who are providing, in many cases, a bad role model for their children. And finally, you're not having people who are filling the jobs that we need. So, you know, you've got to remember, our standard of living is so much higher than, say, in Honduras or El Salvador or Haiti or some of these countries that you might be better off, you probably are better off not working in the United States than working in Haiti or El Salvador and Honduras.
Let's talk a little bit about the deficit, because that seems to be a big issue. Senator Mitch McConnell recently said that in order to cover America's growing budget deficit at the federal level, that cuts would need to be made in social safety net programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Would you support those kind of cuts?
No, I'm with Donald Trump. I don't think we have to end with Medicare and Social Security. I think that Mitch McConnell did a bad job of negotiating the last omnibus bill. I voted against it, even though it was negotiated in part by Republican leadership. It contained an increase in discretionary spending of over 10%, and that was just outlandish. And for have some of these politicians, including Mitch McConnell, sign off on a bill that contained a 10% increase in discretionary spending and then imply that we had to look at things like Medicare is ridiculous. As I mentioned, I do think our welfare-related programs are sometimes too generous. I think there is a savings there.
Do you think there's enough of a savings there that would cover the kinds of deficits that we're actually looking at?
You'll get a significant savings, and you got to remember, the economy, if it continues to grow at 4 or 5%, is going to be an improvement as well.
So you're one of the projections that was made before the tax cut plan was passed, that it would pay for itself. So far, it hasn't. Are you saying you think it will in the future?
Well, I think the first 10 months into the first year, or the last fiscal year, showed income tax receipts up compared to the 10 months prior to that. And, you know, I know the Trump people are bullish on the tax cut. I talked to Larry Kudlow, I think is a good expert. And I think before we do anything drastic, we have to wait and see how much this grows the economy.
Manufacturing is one of the issues you mentioned earlier. It's certainly a big part of your campaign. Here in Wisconsin, we have Foxconn, who's received billions of dollars in incentive to come to the state. And Wisconsin has also considered incentivizing Kimberly-Clark to stay in the state. Are incentives a long-term solution to keeping manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin?
Well, as you know, I'm a congressman, and we vote on what is before us in Congress. So I know a lot of states wish they had Foxconn. We hope we're able to keep the Kimberly-Clark jobs here. But I think the overall thing is to have a strong workforce, a good tax climate, and a good regulatory climate. And I think that is why the 6th Congressional District has more manufacturing jobs than anywhere else in the country. On a national level, I believe manufacturing is probably, along with agriculture, the most important segment of the economy, because that creates wealth. You know, your wealth is not determined by the number of law firms you have or the number of big box stores you have. It determines what your manufacturing is. So I always believe that when you're talking about regulation or tax policy, that manufacturing and agriculture should come first.
And how do you boost manufacturing then? What specific policy could we have at the federal level that would help there?
We have to make sure that insofar as federal tax dollars flow into the state, and I have authored a bill that Donald Trump signed along this regard, that those dollars are able to be used for skills-based training. Whenever you go into a factory in my district, and I tour plenty of them, you always say our number one problem is we can't find more people to work. I also wish in the tax bill, they kind of treated everybody the same. I wish manufacturing was, like I said, treated a little better than big box stores. I think originally Donald Trump was there. I think Barack Obama was there. But it's not something we were able to get done.
And finally, we've got about 30 seconds left. What do you most want voters to know about you as they head to the polls?
Very accessible. Unlike my opponent, I do talk about issues like welfare. I do talk about we can't have sanctuary cities. We have local units of government, as far as I can see, encouraging illegal immigration. Hope you can vote for me on November 6th.
Glenn Grothman is a Republican U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. Prior to his time in Congress, Representative Grothman served in the Wisconsin legislature from 1993 to 2015. He's running for a third term. Congressman Grothman, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, always glad to talk to the erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio.
All right, thanks. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.